Glory to God on prayer series, and thankful for everyone who came out tonight. I know the conditions haven't been too favorable, but we're glad you're here tonight, and we call you getting back home safe and getting sweet sleep tonight. Amen. Praise God. Well, we have started with the prayer series. We looked at, first of all, the prayer of praise and worship in your personal private life, and how important the prayer of praise and worship is in your personal private life. And I have shared about something that Noble Hayes has shared, because Jesus told him in one of the visions, he said, tell my people they don't worship me enough. They need to worship me more. If they would spend more time in worshiping and praising me, I will do great and mighty things for them and through them. And then we moved from personal, private praise and worship prayer to a corporate praise and worship time. And how valuable and important that has been when we come together and we assemble together as a church, that we come on purpose. We have an appointment with the Most High God, hallelujah, the lover of our souls. We have an appointment with Him. We know that, and we come to be God pleasers, God worshipers. Come on now, giving Him our best, our highest. That's what we are, giving Him our greatest love. Letting Him know how much we do appreciate and love what He's done for us and continues to do for us. We're thankful, we're grateful. All of that plays a big role in a part in praise and worship when we assemble together. But also, it's coming together in unity and creating what? A divine habitation, where the very presence and power of God becomes tangible. Tangible, where God begins to reveal Himself to your five senses, and you know that you know that you know He is here, and don't nobody have to tell you. You know it. He's bringing the unseen into the seen realm. He's bringing the unknown into the known realm. He's bringing the unheard into the heard realm. Why? Because He loves us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants it more than we do. I mean, we have to keep ourselves straight and realize not to get off, and how important that time is with Him. It's very important. And then last week we started on united corporate prayer. So we moved off of corporate praise and worship to united corporate prayer. And we're going to review real quick just how vitally important united corporate prayer is. We said when it comes to united corporate prayer, it's when the church or an assembly of believers come together and they're all praying out loud together about the same thing at the same time in the same place, releasing their faith, because there is a leader in united corporate prayer. There is a leader, so the congregation and the people have one ear tuned in to the leader, so you can hear the direction we're going, and we all go in the same place on the same thing at the same time, releasing our faith. And you got your other ear open to the Holy Spirit, because you're helping and assisting the leader, whether it be in praying in other tongues or whether it be in praying in English. You're helping. It's an all-participant prayer. It's not you praying for yourself, by yourself, or to yourself. The more supplies there are in united corporate prayer, the more accomplishments are being made. So when we come together, we're listening when it comes to prayer. We're listening and we're tuned in and we're ready to what? Give our supply in prayer. Whether it's assisting in tongues, praying in the Spirit, you can't go wrong with that. But everybody is lifting their voices out loud at the same time. It's not a quiet praying to yourself. A group over here got their Bibles open. They're studying something. Some group over here is praying on something else. No, it's all of us together.
That's right.
That's what makes it so powerful. There's unity when there is a togetherness. And that's one of the keys about United Corporate Prayer. Number one, it's unity. Number two, it's speaking out loud. Speaking out loud. Not to yourself. You don't have your head down and you're praying to yourself. Nope, you got your mouth open wide. Glory to God. Whether you're speaking in tongues or you're speaking in English, helping the leader. Glory to God. Go where we go, where the Holy Ghost wants to go, because the Holy Ghost ultimately is the leader.
Yes.
We're following Him. We don't come with a list. We don't come with our own preconceived ideas or plans. No, we come yielded.
Yes.
That's one of the great things about the Holy Ghost. He wants to possess us so much and control our lives so that we represent and people can see Jesus Christ on this earth through us more than ever. The Spirit is, He just wants to help fulfill His responsibility in us, to us, and through us. Hallelujah. So, like I also shared about this prayer that Brother Hagin said, if people really knew and understood the power that's made available in United Corporate Prayer, that there would be more people coming out to pray. Hallelujah. So we're all lifting our voices together in United Corporate Prayer. And we're coming, believing, and releasing our faith on whatever the Holy Spirit would lead it, have us to pray about. Hallelujah. So last week we looked at a Bible example in Acts chapter 4, glory to God. You know, one thing about the church, when it comes to the church, we are the body of Christ. We are the triumphant church. God is not coming back for a defeated church. Come on now, a weak church. No, come on now. We are the restraining force until Jesus returns. Until we're raptured out of here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. The church is the restraining force. We are here for a purpose, a divine purpose to what? Stand against everything that is not the will of God on this earth, but decree and declare what is God's will on the earth. Come on now. When we see things show up and pop up and that are not of God, and we know there's total opposition against God's plan, God's will, God's word, then yes, as the church, we're supposed to take authority over it. So with the restraining force, the Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Right.
A body of believers making tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. If you can just think about James chapter 5, verse 16, verse B, when it says the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. If that's one person that can do that, can you think about a whole body that's assembled together, how much power is being released? Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. So the church, God said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And He told us in Matthew 18, verse 18, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let me read that out of the Amplified. Amplified version, Matthew 18, 18, because it says, whatever you decree, declare, it's really, really good. It says, I tell you, verse 18, Matthew 18, verse 18, Amplified, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper, How many have seen some improper things happening in the world today? There's plenty of it out there, but the church is here to declare what is proper and right in the sight of God and His Word. Come on now. He says, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper, unlawful. Unlawful. Oh boy. On the earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit, declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. This is talking about there are three heavens. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said that he went up into the third heaven. The third heaven is where the throne of God is himself. The first heaven is the atmosphere around us right here. The second heaven is where the stars, galaxies, and universe is. And he said that we bind and we can bind the devil in the first and second heaven. We're the ones that's responsible for the first and second heaven because that's where the devil has set up his kingdom, in the first and second heaven. And it says, whatever we bind as a church, declare improper and lawful, is what is already declared unlawful and improper in heaven. So we're binding the enemy. The church has the right to bind on earth because it'd be bound in heaven. And also the church, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, it says, one shall chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Two. So think about how many of all of us in here together. We're talking about united corporate prayer. Hallelujah. And all participation prayer. All of us. So we looked at last week's, let's go to Acts chapter 4. We looked at last week about the church. When it came together and it prayed because there was great persecution that broke out against the church. Peter had preached and 3,000 had come to know Jesus Christ. Peter and John went to the beautiful gate, beautiful, and there was a crippled man there. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. He knew what he did have. The name of Jesus, he knew who. Come on now. He said, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the crippled man rose up and walked, and many came to know Jesus Christ because of one miracle. Yes. But then there was a great persecution that broke out against these apostles and disciples. And they were told in Acts chapter 5 never to speak about the name of Jesus ever again. Don't teach on it. Don't speak of it. Don't speak it. They were trying to shut them down, the world. What do you think about today? The same thing. Same old devil, no new tricks, same old thing. Come on now. Still trying to shut the church down, shut the believers up. He don't want you out there being a witness. Come on now. He don't want you out there being fire and spreading like being contagious wherever you go. Hallelujah. Mm-mm. No, this is the time that the church rises up and realizes who we are, who you are, as a son of God, as a child of God, anointed with the Spirit of God living in you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and He lives in you. Hallelujah. Now, the Holy Ghost, He's the performer of the Word of God. He's the executor here on the earth. He's waiting for us to what? Declare what is so. Declare the Word of God over situations. Declaring the Psalms 91 over your household, over your family, over your children. So that God, what? The Holy Ghost is there to watch over it, to perform it. That's what it tells us in Jeremiah 1:12. God watches over His Word to perform it, to make it good in our lives. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 4, they were threatened. They were told not to speak in the name, teach in the name, don't do no more miracles and everything. And guess what? The church comes together in chapter 4 and they begin to pray. They assemble together instead of getting afraid, going in their home, shutting their doors, and becoming fearful. No, they became the opposite. They got bold. And they began to call on the name of their God. And they began to magnify him. We saw in Acts chapter 4 this prayer. And they began to lift their voices together in one united mind to God. And remind God who he said he was. And then in verse 29 of Acts chapter 4 it says, they began to pray, "Now, Lord, observe the threats. Grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly." So they didn't ask to be quiet and shut them down. No, the church, they gathered together, they're asking for boldness, and then they're asking even more bolder to get the message out. Instead of getting quiet and going to houses and not say anything or cause any disturbance, you know, we don't want to say that it might cause a disturbance. Well, if it's the word of God, so be it. People need to hear the truth. Hallelujah. Speak the truth in love. So they pray, and it says, verse 30, "While you, Lord God, stretch out your hands to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child servant Jesus." So they're asking for boldness, and not only boldness, they're asking for God to what? Work wonders, signs, miracles in them, through them. And verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken." Think about that. The building literally shook because of the power of God that was made available when the church came together, got on the same page, released their faith, lifted their voices together. Tremendous power was made available. And things began to happen. Things began to happen. The church became so radical, so fierce, so bold. And what it stood for, who it was, it knew its assignment, it knew who it was, it knew who they were working for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're in the highest, the best kingdom there is ever. And you've been called to be a part of that kingdom, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That knows no defeat. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so the church... got even bolder. Went right back out in the streets and declared the word of God. And it says that, so they prayed for more boldness, they prayed for the power, and for miracles, signs, and wonders. And we could see, and that's exactly what kept happening. The apostles went forth, and it says they were working, God was working miracles through them, using them. Great signs and wonders were taking place and happening. And I had shared last week about we need to be and get and stay hungry for the time that it is, knowing that it's right before Jesus' return. So miracles are going to play a great part. The gifts, the power gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to be so imminent and strong on the body of Christ for those who are yielded and ready to give themselves to the power gifts, working of miracles, gifts of healings, gift of special faith, being ready for these things, for God to use you when you're out and about in society, because miracles are the dinner bell for the world, the lost world. It gets the attention of the world and draws them in. That's how God gets their attention, so he can draw them into the church so they can get born again and be discipled. And he told us this, John 14, verse 12. He said, "Those that believe on me shall do the works that I do, and even greater works than these shall they do." greater works. Those that believe, Jesus said, those that believe on him shall do the works that Jesus did. What did he do? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God the Father was with him. He went about doing good. There's so much out there that you can do good and get people, I tell you what, for such a time as this, hallelujah, glory to God. See, so many times we have a wrong idea about the church. We think the church is for our privilege and our convenience. But I'm here to tell you a little bit something different. It's not what can the church do for me. It is what can I do for my church. The church should be so radical, fierce, and bold, living holy, pure lives for Jesus Christ that it changes your life so radical that you die to your life, what you want, everything that God does not want, and you give yourself to live the life of Christ here on the earth. The church should be that radical and bold and fierce and pure and holy so that it changes your life so drastically that you never want to go back to what you came out of. But you know what you're here for. And you know you're excited about the one who saved you, delivered you, healed you, filled you with the Holy Ghost. And you're aimed to please him. Hallelujah. So the church... Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 12. We're looking at times when the church assembled together. So we saw they assembled right then in Acts chapter 4. And you know, the church was so radical when they prayed and asked for more boldness and for more signs, wonders, and miracles. It says in chapter 5, verse 13... Acts chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "And none of those who were not of their number dared to join and associate with them." Well, think about that. Not just anybody joined this group of people that were assembled as a church now, because they were so radical, fierce, bold, pure, living holy lives, unashamed about what they were called and assigned to do. It says, not just... None of those who were not of their number dared to join or associate with them. But the people held them in high regard and praised and made much of them. Said, we may not can join you, but you know what? We're behind what you're doing. Hallelujah. All right, church, it's time to rise up. Live pure, holy lives, because just like Jesus was in sync with the Father in thought, word, and deed, the church is to be in sync with Jesus Christ in purity, holiness. Come on now. Oh yeah, it's time to live pure, holy lives for Jesus Christ. We don't have time for sin and letting sin in the back door. No, 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 it's time to live for Christ. Hallelujah. So we're looking at another example here. Let's turn to Acts chapter 12. Where the church assembled and prayed again. Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to begin in verse 3 and read through verse 11 in the Amplified Version. Acts chapter 12, verse 3. "And when he saw that it was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded further, arrested Peter also." Now this is talking about Herod the king. He stretched, in verse 1, it says, "He stretched forth his hands to afflict and oppress and torment some who belonged to the church assembly." So here's even greater persecution coming against them, even more so. And it says in verse 2, Herod had James killed, the brother of John, with the sword. In verse 3, "And when he saw that it was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded further and arrested Peter also." This was during the days of the unleavened bread and the Passover. Verse 4, and when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison. He delivered him to four squads of soldiers of four each to guard him. So it was not just a little teeny group in the jail. No, he had a whole squad of soldiers all around Peter. This was serious business. To guard him, purposing after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison. But, hallelujah, here we go. But fervent prayer. Say fervent prayer. Fervent prayer means it's earnest, heartfelt, sincere. When they gathered together, they were gathering together on purpose to come against the persecution. They knew that Peter had been picked up and put in prison, and so the church immediately, they assembled together, and they prayed for him, for Peter, and it was persistently made to God by the church assembly. So they didn't just come one time and say, okay, we did our job, that's it. No, they were persistent about it, heartfelt, sincere. They're like, look, we ain't giving up, letting up till we see something happen here. Look at this, verse 6. The very night before Herod was about to bring Peter out, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers fastened with two chains and sentries before the door guarding the prison. Verse 7, and suddenly, woo, I love the suddenlies of God. The suddenlies of God. Going to be more and more suddenlies of God. It said, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared standing beside him, and a light shone in the place where he was. And the angel gently smote Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. Verse 8, and the angel said to him, tighten your belt, bind on your sandals, and he did so. And he said to him, wrap your outer garment around you and follow me. This is an angel. Why? Because the church prayed fervently. They persevered. They stayed at it. They stayed in on it until they began to see something happen here. And it says, and Peter went out along following him, verse 9. And he was not conscious that what was apparently being done by the angel was real. He couldn't even recognize that it was so real. It was so hard for him to fathom with his mind what was taking place. But thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, and when they had passed through the first guard and the second, they came to the iron gate which leads into the city. Of its own accord, the gate swung open. Woo, glory. And they went out and passed on through one street at once, and the angel left him. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I really know and am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people and from all that the Jewish people were expecting to do to me. So here we go. The church assembles. They come together. It's fervent, heartfelt prayer. They realize Peter's been picked up, put in prison. They've heard the bad news about James being killed with the sword. And they stay at it persistently until they hear about it. Because Peter goes to the door where they were all assembled and they had been praying. And this young girl opens the door, and she's like, oh, it must be his angel, but it was really Peter. It wasn't his angel. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the church prayed here again, and what happens this time? Deliverance takes place. Deliverance. People were delivered out of their situation. Peter was delivered out of his situation by an angel. So the prayer, the united corporate prayer, when they came together, it brought deliverance And it activated the supernatural on behalf of Peter so he could get out of prison and go back out into the streets and continue preaching the good news, the message of the gospel. The angel told him that angels can't preach the gospel, but they know that you can. And so they helped Peter get out and told him, now go out into the street and the words of this life must be spoken. Speak the words of this life. That's how important the gospel is. And it must be preached and heard in order for people to have faith to believe and receive. But here we go. It activated the supernatural. Angels brought deliverance. Corporate prayer, united corporate prayer. Acts chapter 5 and verse 18 through 21. Acts chapter 5 and verse 18 through 21. Here were some apostles that were arrested because they were out preaching the gospel. It says, verse 18, they seized and arrested the apostles, the special messengers, and put them in public jail. Verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and leading them out said, go, take your stand into the temple courts and declare to the people the whole doctrine concerning this life, the eternal life which Christ revealed. Ooh, glory. Another time when the church had prayed in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, that power that was made available when these apostles were arrested, they were put in jail, but also an angel came, and what brought deliverance for them, told them to go back out in the streets and keep preaching the gospel. We're talking about united corporate prayer and what it produces, what it can produce, what can happen, what can take place when the supernatural is activated, when tremendous power is made available, deliverance is brought forth. Glory to God. Church, I hope and pray that you're getting this when it comes to corporate prayer or united prayer. The difference that it does make and how vitally important in the day that we're living in to be a church of prayer. Because there are so many things that are taking place all the time. And as a church that comes together and prays and takes the time to pray for one another, pray for the situations that are going on in the world, you are shifting destinies. Listen to me now. When we come together and pray corporately and united together, we're praying for the lost. You're shifting destinies. You're redirecting storms. You're stopping suicides. You're opening heavenly portals and doors for God to move and work in. You're partnering with angels that you may not even be well aware of, but they're working. Because the Bible says that angels hearken to the voice of the word of God that's spoken. And in Hebrews 1:14, it says that, are they not all ministering spirits sent to serve and help those who are heirs of salvation? That's you and I. So angels work according to the voice that they hear when we speak the word of God. Psalms 103, verse 20 and 21. They're hearkening. They're waiting to listen for you to speak the word of God, which helps to activate the angelic. You're changing nations when we pray together. You're snatching people out of the fires of hell that are still here on the earth, living for the devil, and they're so blinded by their sin and their lifestyle that they can't see. But when the prayers of the saints come together, because there are certain ones that people, that God puts on our hearts, that unless somebody prays for them, they'll never see and come to know for themselves or understand. But when God gets the church to pray, that's one of the greatest times that we break the power of the devil off of the people that have been blinded by him so much by sin and their sinful lifestyle that they can't see one way or the other. But the prayers of the saints of the church breaks that, and they're able to see and know and come to understand for themselves. It's amazing what happens and takes place when the church takes her place in prayer. So tonight, let's stand to our feet. You might have somebody on your heart tonight that you know they're going in the opposite direction, headed to hell just as fast as they can go. I'm going to open the altar up tonight. This is how we're going to end. We're going to pray for the lost. I feel the heavy, a heavy burden. Oh God, for the lost, to make intercession, for those that are trapped in sin. They can't see no way out. So if you want to, the altar is open. You can come up here. But we're going to pray. We're going to believe God.